St. Louis, it's the Ryan Kelly Morning After on KPNT-FM HD2, Collinsville, St. Louis, at the Morning After STL on YouTube and on TMASTL.com with Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, Iggy Strode, The Plowboy, and Action Jackson.
7:09 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 105.7 HD2 FM, The Potted Plant, TMASTL.com, YouTube.com/TMASTL, and of course, the all-new The Morning After STL app, which you can download from the App Store and enjoy, and you got the video, the audio, the archives. The archives go back years now on TMASTL and on the app, yeah.
Okay, that's nice.
And there was a... Jackson, were you in the email where Jeremy said that there were like 9 months missing?
Yeah.
You know who I reached out to? Take a guess.
Buck Swope.
You're damn right I did, Jack. And Buck Swope goes, oh, here's where you can find this year and here's where you can find that year.
Where does he find this stuff?
Buck Swope is the best in the business.
Is it just on the internet, the dark web somewhere? Where does he get it? Web.
He records, I do believe, every show, and I'm sure he has an algorithm by now to where a keyword search comes into play.
He records the shows.
A big segment happens. I'm sure he's able to type in a keyword like tuna fish Vaughn or something like that.
And then that segment pops up.
Because our show notes as well are very detailed by all of our great producers that we have and have had on this show. And so there's always that keyword that you can type in to try to find the segment. That's why he's so good.
So every day he records 3 hours of this.
I'm pretty sure.
Onto his home computer.
I don't know about that because we do that.
How else would he come up with all this stuff?
Downloads and saves every segment to his computer.
That is probably a possibility.
Doesn't he have his own YouTube channel that has a lot of our stuff on there?
I don't know.
I thought I saw somebody post the other day and go to Swope's YouTube page and find it.
Huh. I don't know.
He's great.
Well, either way, the point being that I said to these fine gentlemen, the ones who built the website and built the app in a matter of, for real, the website was 2 weeks, the app was about a month, and I said, do you mind if I forward this email to a gentleman by the name of Buck Swope? Because I have a feeling he's going to be able to answer the question. And they said, no, if he has the answer as to where the 9 months or 13 months or whatever it is from like 9 years ago are, then great. Because they're already familiar with Swope's Picks. And who isn't a fan of Swope's Picks? Oh, find me
there,
somebody.
There isn't a person.
Right.
M&M is a Buck Swope joint.
There's a sponsor.
I wonder when we first told them that if they're like, you guys are going to have a podcast from Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle played the role of Buck Swope in Boogie Nights. What year was Boogie Nights? 97?
I don't know. I'm going to say 90s.
Honestly, I went in watching that movie, thought it was like a 70s disco type movie.
97.
Within five minutes. Don't go up against me. And it was great. I actually really loved it. The characters, just...
Paul Thomas Anderson, baby.
It was good.
What about the Colonel? What about the Colonel?
Creepy as the day is long.
Yep. Was that Burt Reynolds? Was he the Colonel?
No, the Colonel was the financial guy who made the films possible.
Oh.
Who with the blonde haired? He is actually R.I.P. no longer with us.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Played the role of Art Howe.
He's so good in like every movie he is in.
Yeah.
He was so good in that.
Yeah. One of the greatest character actors of our lifetime.
And William C. Macy, is that his name?
William H. Macy.
Got cucked many times.
So that was a cuck.
He was definitely a cuck.
Oh. John C. Reilly.
I recognize that, and I didn't even have a definition.
Was John C. Reilly in that as well?
Yeah, he played...
Wow.
What's the name of his character? Reed Rothschild.
How could you remember that?
Jackson has a website. It's called goodorbad.com.
Boogie Nights is one of the greatest films.
Is that another Mount Rushmore of greatest films?
No, not Mount Rushmore.
What's your Mount Rushmore of greatest films? Maybe this will help investors.
That's a loaded question.
Why,
Doug? I thought it was a fair question.
I did too.
I'll get into the Dear Deidre lesbian thing in a moment because I see you've moved that to the top of the links to make sure it was read today.
Shawshank and A Time to Kill, I think, is definitely on there for me.
I've never seen A Time to Kill.
Godfather's on there.
Yeah,
Godfather's on there. Absolutely.
I'll go Django's on there for me.
Wizard of Oz has to be on there.
Not for me.
See, I like Saving Private Ryan. I love wartime movies. I like that too. Some Tom Hanks. Yeah. I know that's, you know, cliche, but Tom Hanks.
But if you're talking about all-time great movies, something that's held up for almost a century.
Saving Private Ryan's up there. I mean,
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Doug?
This is a great movie. Mount Rushmore, if you're only talking about the best four movies of all time, I don't think it gets up there.
Gone Baby Gone is one of my favorites.
What the hell is that?
Is that with Ben Affleck?
Casey
Affleck.
I don't know.
My friend John Ashton was in that.
Your friend.
Son of a... He was in Little Big League, too.
Yeah, I never saw the ending coming to that.
I think Jackson's named nine films.
Only two of them so far.
Well, Godfather and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
That's two.
Well, Dakota has a lot of room out there. They can do some more carvings. No, they can do some more carvings on the Mount Rushmore.
I'll say Goodfellas.
Well, Doug, you're dismissing all of our picks. I'd like to hear maybe a couple that you would put on
there.
I'm
not dismissing it. Saving Private Ryan would be on my Mount Rushmore. Also.
Thank you. Okay, no, I thought you disagreed. Okay.
You guys are bonding now. This is wonderful.
Yeah, I thought that was just outstanding.
Well, Godfather 1, Godfather 2 is on mine.
Yeah.
But are those separate?
Both of them.
Probably Goodfellas would be three.
We have a similar list, Iggs.
Maybe you could be part of goodorbad.com, Iggy.
Well, my favorite movie of all time, and a lot of people have never heard of it, The Pope of Greenwich Village.
I've heard of it.
With a young Mickey Rourke, a young Eric Roberts, a young Hannah, what's her name, from...
Montana.
Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus.
No, who's the girl from Splash?
Daryl Hannah. Married to Neil Young now, Doug. Did you know that?
Is that right? No.
Yeah. Great underrated movie. I liked it.
Man, I'm coming up. I'm having trouble coming up with the phone.
I might pull more money out of goodorbad.com. I'm just concerned if the owner and proprietor, our managing member, can't give a Mount Rushmore of the greatest films.
I'll say Django is my fourth.
I think in order to stay in good standing with his friends in Hollywood, Jackson doesn't want to dismiss any of the movies.
Oh, so this is a political play.
Yeah.
Text via the app. I forgot. Cool Hand Luke is a very good play. Oh.
Don't say play. Oh.
It is.
Paul Newman's and Butch Cassidy.
It was a movie.
That was good. I don't know if it makes a Mount Rushmore. That's a tough one. It's a great movie.
Guys, according to the IMDb all-time rankings, the four would be Shawshank, Godfather, The Dark Knight, and Godfather Part Two.
Dark Knight shouldn't be on there.
Two of them.
Isn't that just one guy picking?
Yeah, his name's IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah. International Movie Database, bro.
I mean, The Dark Knight was stellar.
It's good. That's on the 21st century.
You notice no comedies. You know, like, comedies are great, but they don't feel like they...
I think Animal House was the best comedy of all time. Airplane was awfully good.
I like Fletch.
Guys, why are you overlooking the timeless classic Mannequin 2? Iggy, wasn't your friend in... was he in Mannequin 2 or just in Mannequin?
Who's that?
Your friend from Brentwood.
Oh, Brucey Young?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's been in 100 movies.
Doug, was he in both Mannequins or just Mannequin?
He was in Risky Business. He played the transvestite hooker.
Oh, did he?
Well, I did not get the ratings you would expect.
Brucey Young didn't, or my Mannequin 2?
Mannequin 2.
That sounds terrible.
But wasn't it nominated for a Golden Globe?
Well, what isn't?
I think it was. Screenplay, anyway.
Now, I was on HBO Max last night just trying to find something to watch. And I go into the movies in the hub section. You can just go movies A through Z. Counting the cartoons, the animation, there were 58 Batman selections. 58.
What? We can't get enough of Batman in this country. I don't get it.
New one coming out this year.
He's a vigilante hero, Doug. I mean, that kind of speaks for it.
All those comic book type movies, they just do nothing for me. I know they're very popular, but they do nothing for me.
Well, you kind of have to be a fan of, you know, superheroes, comic books, the actors in which they play them. You can't go in there just watching, like, the third Iron Man and expect to enjoy it because you're going to be confused as hell.
Right.
So the problem with that is if you do want to start, you have about 32 movies you got to watch before you can catch up.
Not doing that.
Come on in. The water is warm. You can text in the EDF text inbox, Engineered Design Facilities, sponsor of our text inbox here. 314-881-TMA5, 314-881-8625. Save it in your phone, and the next thing you know, you are texting in and communicating with the radio show. Colin, we heard from caller Adam and Tom from Salt and Smoke yesterday. 636-900-4TMA. 636-900-4TMA. And, of course, you can email in for our Design Air heating and cooling email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Design Air online at DesignAirService.com, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After and the Tim McKernan Show podcast. And they keep us oh so snug in our homes. Doug is a client. I'm a client. Say, friends, why don't you become a client? And if you have any furnace issues today or over the weekend with the temperature of 6 right now, make sure you go to designairservice.com, and the great Seth Goldkamp and his staff will take wonderful care of you really quickly. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling, the official HVAC provider of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and the sponsor of our email today, themorningafter@insidestl.com. Coming up on the Captain's Log today, well, Doug, look who is going to join us.
Who?
Lisa Ann.
Oh, okay.
Making her first appearance on St. Louis HD2 Radio.
All right, that's wonderful.
Yep.
Hopefully she can get through on the Comrex.
Well,
nobody knows more football than Lisa Ann. I can hope that we can keep the questions to football related.
I think the texters will send in two-part questions.
They shouldn't.
And if you want to interact with the listeners like in a live chat format, you can watch us. We are all dressed like boy sluts today, so
what?
You can see how hot we look and decide which one you want to use. But you can chat in the YouTube chat. It's youtube.com/TMASTL. And, Doug, we have more than 3,100 subscribers now to the YouTube page that's been up for 3 weeks. How do you do?
That's nice.
Yep.
That's nice. People actually watching a little bit on YouTube.
And then you can go back and you watch the show if you want, even if you didn't watch it live. And then Jackson and the Plowhawk put clips together.
Do they?
And those are up for your enjoyment. So subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com/TMASTL, and we're up there. And then people just sit there and they... And they chat. They're giving their own Mount Rushmores as we speak. Let's see. Can you imagine Doug trying to understand the multiverse? Brad wrote.
Huh. Good point. Good point. I don't understand some of the cartoons. Is that what it is? Is that a cartoon also? Superhero?
Yeah, it's a superhero thing, not cartoon.
Okay.
But superhero.
Yeah,
that's what's going on in the chat, Doug, if you want to go in and talk it over.
Not my thing.
So there it is. There are all the places you can access the show. You know that Dan Henschel? You know him, Iggy, don't you?
Great family.
Yeah, you're a fan of the
Old
family.
Money.
He was going, hey, I haven't figured out how to... He texted me. I was already asleep, and this was only 10:10. He hasn't been able to find out how to listen to the station yet. So
oh,
he hasn't
my God.
I'm like, well, I mean...
It's all over
Dan.
The fan page. We posted
the
links everywhere.
Page is a portion of the audience.
Well, he's on there though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's necessarily active. But either way, the point being, for those of you who there are a number of places in the app, I would say would probably be the easiest if you do not have HD radio. But I think most people have it, just don't realize they have it.
Yeah.
And then once you find it and then you hit on your preset, it's just like having, you know, 101 or KSHE programmed in your car. And you just click around and you got it. And plus, it's TMA all day. So you're listening to the show and best of shows all day. And I'm telling you, how many segments, Plowhawk, have you and Jackson now carved up, boy? How many have you carved into your landing strip?
I couldn't put a number out. We do have an Excel spreadsheet. And what's great about
Doug, do you have the spreadsheet up?
I don't have it up right now.
What's great about Jackson and myself is we have not worked together but 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, you felt like there would be some hiccups. Not at mm-hmm. all. We have edited probably, I would say, 75 hours maybe of content. And we have only duplicated one. We've only edited the same thing.
Wow.
Mm. That's how, like, we're just.
You're in sync.
We're definitely in sync. So, yeah, we've probably done, I would say, 70 to 75. Jackson can.
I'd say probably.
Okay. I wanted to lowball it.
Didn't no, that's the
kind of humble
play.
Brag. But
no, it's probably, I think it's in 3 digits by now.
Doug, 3 digits. Think about that.
Okay. And they're all bangers, Doug.
Some serious bangers are in there. Whoo.
Let me run this by Tim.
All right. Oh, no. Doug, I am taking questions. Okay. You will not be taking questions this morning.
You know, I was going to come to the golf meeting yesterday, and then I thought to myself, you know what? I haven't been in the other ones. So if I come into this one and I say,
now,
how about...
Just for this to set the stage for the audience who may not be familiar, we had a meeting at 11 right after balloon party for the Dotem. The second meeting on the Dotem, Doug. A little different situation than the way it was handled in 2021.
Well, you're already 2 meetings ahead.
Well, hot dog stands, you don't find, they don't grow on trees.
I stood up in the meeting in the boardroom yesterday and I said, listen, if money isn't going to a hot dog stand, you know.
You're out.
I'm out. I have an out in my contract. Makes it's sense. Called the hot dog clause. Yeah.
And I do believe if we have money for charity, we'll get there within 4 months.
I do believe in charity.
But I was sitting here with Plowsy and I said, you know what? I didn't know how many you had.
No,
I figured you had 4 or 5 already.
Yeah,
I thought 4 or 5 what?
Meetings.
Oh.
And I said, I haven't been to any of the golf meetings they've had for the Dotem. And I said, I don't want to say, hey, I got this idea. Well, we already talked about that. Yeah. What about this? We already talked about that.
Covered it.
So I didn't want to go in there and just
repetitive.
Not know what's going on.
Yeah.
You guys know if you need anything,
sure,
call me.
You guys got it covered.
But I was thinking some ideas, you know what, because I know that I'm going to do an interview Monday with Eric Bischoff the wrestling YouTube channel, just so that we have different stuff up there.
Just a chit-chat with him.
And I said, what could we do that would, you know, be interesting?
What's going on?
And I thought of Meet the Hubbard family.
Meet the Hubbards.
And we do interviews with all the different hosts of the shows.
You going to fly them to Minneapolis?
On Hubbard. Lux, Learn, U-Man, Favaz, Patrico, Fandango, Riz, Burton, Courtney, Kelly, all the hosts of the shows, not in morning, but afternoons, all, and just meet the Hubbards. Yeah. Let me just do a different interview.
I think it's wonderful.
Meet and greet.
Is this like Iggy's Treehouse? Are you bringing it back?
No. Just, it doesn't even have to be me.
Cross promotion.
But I was thinking, you know, if we just got all the different hosts.
I think
hosts,
maybe it could be the foundation for Pepper and Jeannie.
Oh, Nellie's home.
I think it'd be fun.
It's a great idea.
And then all of our listeners get to meet all the great co-hosts we get to work with.
It's a good idea.
You want to try to steer them off of this show and onto better programs?
They've already done that.
Okay. So you want to invite them all out there for the golf tournament so they can meet
I'm
everybody.
Not inviting anybody.
That Guys, like I'm already thing. Calling out exactly what Meet the Hubbards is. It's Iggy with a reason to have Learn in studio. Thanks.
Yeah, that's just
from Dan in Wentzville.
That's just it. If I wanted to stay... Like...
He's playing the long game.
If I wanted to stay here later, I could see Learn every day.
Oh, man.
She's a coworker. She's a coworker now. I mentioned Learn and about 9 other people. Randy Carricker, Smallman, Michelle Smallman, Brad Thompson, everybody who works on all the stations. I mentioned Learn. I mentioned Learn first.
Okay.
But it was just an idea.
I think it's a nice idea.
Meet the Hubbards.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. You can absolutely do it. I mean, this studio is basically open. Mm-hmm. So, I think it'd be one. I mean, you and the Plowhawk could be doing Pepper and Jeannie.
Dude, we would have, that would be great. I think we have a lot of content that.
Talk it over with the powers that be, and if we call it that, it could be me and Plowsy and Meet the Hubbards featuring Pepper and Jeannie.
Doug.
Oh,
is me it, and Iggy working
Are you
going
to invest
cheap.
In that, or are you going to invest in goodorbad.com?
Well, we I already have money to invest in any of it.
Well, Pepper and Jeannie already has T-shirt.
Have they?
So we,
that's
we,
yeah, that's
we
true. That Marketing. Are those available at InsideSTLShop.com, Jackson, or are those all gone?
Sold out. I sold my last XXX like a couple weeks ago.
That's not surprising.
And how about this? For those of you who haven't, maybe you've downloaded the app, the morning after STL.com, but you may see there is a listener rewards tab. And so what they're going to do, this is one of the things we covered in that meeting yesterday, Iggy. Tommy Mattern, head of programming here at Hubbard St. Louis, said, why don't you guys bring in some merch? I'll sign it, I'll sign it, which so Jackson brought in some today. And then they're going to give away concert tickets. And the concert tickets that, you know, they're going to be giving away for listener rewards.
Good concerts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not
a joke.
You know, it's not the Kiss knockoff band that you
Los
can
Lonely Boys?
Buy 500 tickets in front of 7-Eleven.
Remember the time when we gave away tickets to concerts and you could pick them up free at one of the gas
stations? That's it was correct. Like 7-Eleven and like Moto Mart had like
it's like you and Nicky are playing Jeopardy. That's
I think
exactly
that was,
right.
I think that was the Kiss knockoff band.
They called Almost Kiss.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
I don't need those. I picked them up at 7-Eleven yesterday. They were right there on the counter.
Yeah.
No, but there's a lot of, whether it be The Point or whether it be WAL or whether it be KSHE, they're presented. A lot of these bands come in, KSHE presents. And the Point Fest, I'm looking forward to the Point Fest. You know who's playing the Point Fest this year?
Lizzie Hale.
Lizzie Hale. Hailstorm.
Lizzie Hale. Maybe. Right when I saw that, and I was sitting there BSing with Tommy, and he said, oh, we're announcing Point Fest today or tomorrow or whatever it was. And I saw Hailstorm. I go, I got to tell you, Iggy really likes Lizzie Hale.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I thought when you saw that, you'd be excited.
Maybe I saw that.
They
Papa Roach I like too, but
they
big Hailstorm fan.
Concerts, maybe we could present like the Stanley Cup or something.
That
you
we should.
You know what else?
I think that's kind
Stanley
of understood.
You know what else I thought the other day? When I saw that the Point Fest was announced, and it was 105.7 The Point. Point Fest presented by The Point. You know, such and such. KSHE presents, you know, coming to the Scott Trade or whatever. Hubbard does a lot of concerts. The Morning After presents Los Lonely Boys.
Wow, 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 wow.
Potted Plant Fest. Mm.
Did you say this would be held at Enterprise?
Well,
they
so.
Won't know. I mean, a lot of the concerts KSHE brings in is huge venues, but we could say, you know, The Morning After presents Los Lonely Boys at Golden Corral or wherever.
I would say that's the river
a perfect location.
Iggy's patio. Set up a couple of stacks out on my patio on the lawn and just
Load it up.
Golden Corral couldn't be a more perfect location.
See, you think I just sit at home and do nothing. My mind is always stewing.
Ideas. Doug, the ideas are there. The execution is the process that we're looking forward to.
That's a different story.
Well, you executed some great salmon yesterday. I took that home. And
you did not reheat it here at the station.
Now my house smells like fish, which seems unfair to me.
It should be your work environment.
Yeah.
Well, it was good. Wasn't it?
It was very good, yeah. Iggy can flat out cook some fish.
So anyway, sign up on the app, and we really will have listener rewards. And on top of that, there's going to be actually prizes for winning the email of the month.
What are those?
Huh?
I believe we're talking concert tickets.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Jackson, were you in the meeting yesterday or not? I can't remember. You were not. Okay.
Nope.
So anyway, and then the Dotem, we'll talk about it with Lisa Ann. May 19th and May 20th. Don't worry. It hasn't been opened up for registration yet. So 2 days. Lisa Ann will be coming in on Wednesday the 18th. We were texting about it last week. She's super excited about it. And then is going to stick around until Saturday. So Jennings and I have been talking about it. And Mike D, and he's in the place to be. Is that correct?
Yeah.
At Normandy?
Mikey.
So we'll be bringing it back to Normandy. I think that's where it belongs. It belongs on a Thursday and Friday. I don't think it belongs on a Monday and Tuesday with the money going to a hot dog stand.
Mm.
So the charity partner will be what it had been, which is Birdies for Bipolar, Michael Wellington's charity. Michael Wellington, a friend of the recovering alcoholic from Belleville and Webster Groves.
Does he know that, though?
He texted me earlier this week. He goes, it's so great to just drive around and be able to listen to the show anytime I want. So I'm like, he must have heard himself referenced by the recovering alcoholic from Bell and Webster Groves if he's listening to TMA all day on 105.7 HD2. And you can do that on TMASTL.com too, by the way.
I know this is a tough subject because we talk about,
talk about the tough subjects here.
That's who we are. Yeah.
But, and this just throws a lot of, more work for Jackson potentially, but like I thought the ball markers, the free Dotem ball markers, easy to distribute. They sold pretty quickly. Are we going to have some that are like Hubbard related or the new move related, like HD2 ones? Because I thought those are very easy to, people seem to enjoy having the free Dotem ball markers.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that was something that we're going to do for a summer project. And that's more of a Jackson realm. I just didn't know if.
Well, it's a good question. I guess to give you an idea of kind of the mindset in the two meetings we've had on the Dotem, the idea of spending dollars to bring in people to play in addition to Lisa Ann. Lisa Ann, of course, would be
the headliner.
The headliner.
Yeah.
One person said, well, I think trying to get John Daly in would be great. So we were that's kind of the idea of where we're starting to try to bring it up. Now, that's not going to happen, to be clear, but... Doug, you start at the top, and then
when do you do that? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're looking forward to that. So this is kind of a save the date, May 19th and May 20th, the Dotem, and it will return. And I guess we really haven't done it since May of 2019. Would that be correct? Because we didn't do it in 2020 like we had done it with the pandemic.
No.
Last year was the hot dog edition.
Right.
And on a Monday and a Tuesday, which strategically, I just don't know. This one will be on a Thursday and Friday like it had been. And it'll be May 19th and May 20th. And then also we're setting a backup date in case the forecast is terrible or it's been raining for a week. Having options. So that's May 19th, May 20th. The Dotem returns to Normandy. Okay. How do you do?
Well, I'm fine.
And I'm guessing the prizes for the teams will be something better than a little something something.
Talking about prizes, I said everybody's going to be playing on eightsomes. We did that in May. And that actually worked. Remember that, Doug? We were in eightsomes.
Mm-hmm.
We
that's the way Dotems. To go.
Yeah. It really does work.
It wasn't bad.
Because then you don't have two foursomes on each hole waiting. You just all play. And then on top of it, theoretically... You could have people actually keeping a score.
Now, it was a scramble, though, right?
Yeah, but the eightsome could collude, and then so that's a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I do find that the better prizes you give out, the more there's cheating, because they want to win those things.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, if you have each foursome keeping each other's score, they don't want to screw them. you know, hey, if I give them a three, then I know they didn't get a three, but it's going to screw everybody else. I think it'll be all right.
Let's see. You are welcome to text in. You're welcome to call in 636-900-4TMA. Doug, Marco Bertarelli has been sponsoring this show since 2007. He's the sponsor of Bertarelli Cutlery's Cuts of the Week, which are coming your way on the Captain's Log at 9:30, following Lisa Ann, who will join us at 9 o'clock. Does he have a cutlery store?
He does indeed.
Wow.
Chop Chop Cheeky. Is their call sign. Yeah, it might be a new year and a new station for Bertarelli, but you know what hasn't changed is that Bertarelli Cutlery is still your family-owned and operated local knife authority in St. Louis. The Bertarellis are a Mount Rushmore quality sponsor. They've been around for many, many years. Great mom and pop. Support the little guy. Now, all kitchens have knives, and most household knives in need of work are either good knives that have dulled or bad knives in need of replacing. Bertarelli has you covered with their master knife sharpening and a wide variety of the best brands available. So swing down to the hill and visit them at 1927 Marconi Avenue or give them a call. Here comes the number.
What?
314-664-4005 or visit BertarelliCo.com to see all of their services. And don't forget, they have mask and PPE supplies available as well. And Marco says, yes, they can ship those anywhere in the country or the world, I guess. If you're not listening in St. Louis and you'd say, boy, I'd like to support Bertarelli Cutlery, well, you can. Hop on their website at BertarelliCo.com and you can order all the PPE supplies. They've got masks. Boy, everybody needs masks again. They've got them all at Bertarelli and they are happy to help you. That's Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply.
Coming up at 10:15, the great Jeremy Rutherford will be with us on Balloon Party. I opened up questions for JR last week when he joined us, and I read what people posted on the fan page, and Doug, they were legitimate questions.
Were they?
But the 101 audience did not like the TMA fan page's questions for Jeremy Rutherford. So now there's some tension there, and they suggested that our listeners on TMA are, what's the word that I could use? Not smart, I suppose, is what they were saying in a way that... that
dumbass?
No, it was a word that isn't used as often as it was, say, 20 years ago. So you can post those or email them to me, and Jeremy Rutherford will be on at 10:15 on Balloon Party on 101 ESPN. Lisa Ann on this program at 9 o'clock, and you can ask two-part questions to Lisa Ann, too. That's the thing. It'll be fun. Those are two-part questions. She got a new book out.
And she texted me the other night and said, I need an address. I want to send all you guys my new book.
Sweet.
Huh.
So that'll be coming soon.
What's the book about? Fantasy football?
No, I think it's like her life part two.
Oh.
The remix.
Okay. Well, that'd be interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. She's had an interesting life.
I would say.
That she has, yeah. Living in New York now?
Yeah.
Manhattan?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think she moved to Staten Island.
Don't know the address. She might be in.
Oh, yeah. She's in Hoboken.
Yeah, she moved back from Long Island.
Somebody texted in the link to this story, and I have a feeling I know why. College football coaches on the hot seat.
All right.
Is that an email we're getting when that goes off?
No, it's just every time, like literally any time you make a movement on the computer, it meows.
Oh, okay.
College football coaches on the hot seat, conference by conference.
Oh, this is a hot take already.
Okay.
January.
And I guess I know why the gentleman wanted it to be read.
You want to start in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, we're going to start and stop in the Southeastern Conference. I don't think we're going to go conference by conference. Maybe I'll do that in Balloon Party. But they have hot seat none. Keep an eye on Brian Harsin. Doug, he's at Auburn, and he's been there for, what, 6, 7 years?
6 or 7, yes, feels like that.
Well, he's been there one.
Oh.
I guess this is what it was about.
Okay.
I debated whether or not to include Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, boy.
Who was 11-12, 8-10 in SEC play at Missouri, and he boasts some notable wins over LSU and Florida. But the 2021 season saw some turbulence with the staff and the roster. Missouri has a new athletic director in place. Still, barring a truly disastrous season this fall, Drinkwitz should be safe for 2023. So, Plowhawk, he is, according to ESPN.com, not on the hot seat.
Look, I gave him grief, and I think it's kind of funny to bring up the Tennessee game, the comeback at North, against North Texas. But honestly, that's such a small sample size, man. Like, he is a great recruiter now if he can develop that talent as yet to be seen. But you can't give a guy a year and a half and now he has to win 9 games to keep his job.
Well, Harsin's been there a year and they're already talking about him. And Sarkisian was listed in the Big 12 as the one that's on the hot seat there. And he's been in Austin for a year. Even if Drinkwitz is absolutely just terrible as a head coach, I just think you have to give guys 4 years unless you have off the field all hell breaking loose. That's not an absolute policy. But if it's strictly based on being, whatever the record is, I mean, because most of the wins are against teams that were crap. Whatever. It's about the process and it's about building a program. Gary Pinkel, from the moment he got in there, he always would use the term program. It's about a program. So I think in order to really build a program, you have to let coaches know they're going to have time, especially at a place like Columbia, Missouri. Knoxville, Tennessee has been a disaster because they just keep going through coaches. So whether one believes in them or not, and we mock the Missouri fans, who have got a, Bear Bryant comparison going, but even if he's, a disaster and they go 5-7 next year, which, unfortunately is possible, I'd like to see him get at least 2023.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they would let him go barring a 2-10 season or something like that. The expectations are different at the Auburns and the Texas of the world. They expect to compete every year.
See, I for example, and I'm really kind of getting into the weeds on this, and I will get to the lesbian story Jackson sent me. But to me, Scott Frost at Nebraska, I'd be excited about that. Now that sounds really weird and counterintuitive, but they were in every single game that they played. If I'm not mistaken, in the Big Ten, at the very least, I know that they had just as many points scored for them as points scored against them. And to me, that's an indication. Because win-loss records, if anything, from my standpoint, which might sound really strange, but with how teams schedule, you're basically handed 4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So to go, they went to a bowl. Okay, then that means you beat 2 teams from your conference. If that's a good year, then we have different definitions of good. But are your teams in games against quality opponents? That's how and do you see progress year over year? Because you can schedule yourself to a 5 or 6 win season, and that to me is the difference. So if anything, that is something that would be concerning from a Missouri standpoint. The game you like to talk about, the Plowhawk, the Tennessee game, the A&M game, most teams would get stomped by Georgia, so that isn't anything. But circling LSU in 2020 and Florida in 2021, like it was some accomplishment from a brand name standpoint. It was for U.S. There was fan bases, what they thought of their 2020 team and their 2021 team. And they'd go, oh my God, they got their coaches fired. So that's something that I think is a misnomer. And like they're saying, well, Frost has to at least go to a bowl game in 2022 at Nebraska or else he's going to get fired. I'm going, well, I mean, that means he has to win 2 games in the Big Ten because they're going to schedule themselves to 3 or 4 right out of the gate. So I think the whole thing with the win-loss total, I get it, but how are your teams performing and are your teams competing and year over year are they improving and how is recruiting running parallel to that? He's got the recruiting thing going, but as far as on the field goes, I don't know what game you would circle and go, well, that was the game that where you go, man, I really didn't think they had a chance and they shocked the world. I mean, is it Florida in 2021, the game that got Dan Mullen fired? Or is it LSU in 2020, the season that got Ed Orgeron fired? If that's the case, then...
If you lose to Missouri, if you're a big-name program, you're in trouble.
Well, the only thing about Frost and Nebraska is they're in every game.
They're not getting
blown out by anybody. And
their roster's terrible.
And how good the Big Ten was this year. It's hard.
The issue for Nebraska fans, and that's what he's dealing with, is that when they think of good, they think of beating teams by 50 points like they did 20 years ago. But those days are over. Those days are over for almost everybody, with the exception of a couple of teams. So with respect to, I'm not looking to break down Nebraska football. My point being, from my standpoint, observing college football as much as I do, I actually see that improving from where it was. It hasn't necessarily turned around into losses, but the process is there. And if you put yourself in position to win games, 50% of the time, you will wind up winning them. He's been on the receiving end of some questionable calls. I couldn't care any less about Scott Frost. My point being, if Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri against, let's say, Georgia would probably be an extreme example, but Texas A&M, team that I would guess finished around 15th or so, you know, was in that game, that to me shows probably lose, but they weren't in the game. To be blown off the field by Tennessee, that sucks. You're going to have outlier games. I get that whole thing. What would be another example of an opponent this year that outside of Georgia was a legitimately good team? Anybody? Nurse?
Arkansas was pretty good.
Yeah, and they weren't.
Mizzou played outside of Georgia that was good?
SEMO.
A&M.
SEMO.
Outside of A&M and Georgia.
Oh, they lost to Boston
I guess.
College.
Boston College. Arkansas is a good football team. If you watched that game, they had no chance. But that was that. I think that was a quarterback situation. You know, they were hanging around, but you knew if Arkansas scored like 14 points with what they were doing offensively, there was no. And that was with Tyler Beatty going off. So from my standpoint, that's my own individual thing. So if they are competitive with a tough schedule next year, that to me illustrates progress. Even if the wins aren't there.
Transfer portal is now the new thing of getting coaches fired as well. It's not just are you recruiting, are you coaching, but you know, a mass exodus of freshmen, sophomore players that are, you know, 4 stars. And you see a lot of them coming to Missouri, so it's a double-edged sword there that, you know, you're losing players, but you're also gaining some players from other teams as well. But, you know, you saw Wingo, or
Dennis Mekhi Wingo.
Yeah, yep. Obviously he followed Steeples over there to LSU, kind of understandable. If you start losing,
no, he said yesterday on an interview on Channel 4 that he left because of the constant change on defensive coaches.
See that?
Oh, is that right? Really?
Stability. I don't know.
That's not a great soundbite. That's not a great thing from his.
Well, that's what he said.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I get that. But if you start losing more guys like that, you know, a five and seven season turns into a disaster even more so with losing a lot of guys for depth and you losing a starter as a freshman, first team all SEC. So that could probably do him in if he's losing a lot of guys each and every year.
You got to hope to get more than you lose. You got to hope that some guys from premier programs who maybe aren't getting the playing time that they think will come to Mizzou and they'll be better than what Mizzou's got now.
And you want to see if Drinkwitz can actually coach. And I hate the excuse, well, this is not in players. Well, Sam Pittman didn't have in players. Josh Heupel didn't have in players. The coach for Baylor didn't have his players. And they have pretty good years. So I'm so sick and tired of hearing, oh, we'll wait 4 years to get recruits. I'm fine giving them a 4-year berth, but now you can tell if he's going to be able to coach or not in the SEC because these are going to be his guys.
Are you fed up with it?
I find that excuse to be ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, it's not in players. It's not in players. Well, I mean, look at, like, there's 5-10 other programs that have new coaches that are actually winning in, you know, conference games.
Right. How much recruiting is going to be the coaches anymore, though? When they can say, you know, yeah, you're a great coach, but I can go here and make more money. I can go here. They got these sponsorships set up for me here. What do you got for me?
Oh, it's all about the boosters now.
It's an incredibly fair point, Iggy, I have to say.
That's how Texas A&M just landed the number one recruiting class.
They paid $30 million for the recruiting class.
Yeah. That is the game. You can text in your thoughts, call in your thoughts, 314-881-8625. It spells TMA5. Save it in your phone. Text in to the EDF text inbox. And, of course, you are welcome to call in 636-9004-TMA. Action Jackson is now on the roster of Sound Story, along with me and with Doug, and now is a perfect time to do it. In December, we were booked up. Man, I don't know how many we did in December, but we did a lot, and it was awesome. I love doing them. Doug loves doing them. Jackson is available as well at mysoundstory.com. We can record here in this studio right after we are done with this radio presentation. If you are interested in doing one with Doug, and Jackson and I are available starting at 11 a.m. here at the Hubbard Studios, which are in Creve Coeur off of Olive. For more information, go online at mysoundstory.com. You can email me with any questions you may have, tmckernan@insidestl.com. It is Sound Story. Record your loved one's story and always have it. We had that email a couple days ago that I read with somebody who was planning on having their mom and their siblings come in and do one, and the pandemic started. They weren't able to do it, and now a couple of the siblings have passed, and there's a great deal of regret that it wasn't able to get done because, as they say, those stories are lost forever. Don't lose your loved one's stories. Make sure your kids, your grandkids, and their kids will be able to hear it forever. with Sound Story. Doug and I love doing them, and I think Jackson will do a hell of a job as well. It's mysoundstory.com, or email me at tmckernan@insidestl.com. I started it back in 2019. Doug and Jackson have been working with me on it. It is owned by us, and we would love to provide that service for you.
What a great idea that was.
It was an accident. It was really somebody else sent in the idea.
Oh, really?
Well, because people wanted me to interview my dad, and I was like, nah, we're both going to start crying our eyes out, and I would rather just have that be a private conversation. And then when he came in, we didn't, and it was great, and I'm so happy that I did it. And I, for Anna Marie's, I interviewed her parents before Christmas, so now she has that, and I want to interview my mom. I got to do that. Once you do it, it's like, okay, now I have it.
Now you have it.
And it's you always have it. And it's their story in their voice in a conversation. It's
yeah,
the best.
I think back, I say it all the time. I never talked to my grandfather about growing up in that era of the Depression. And
see,
maybe
I love
watching
hearing about
Babe Ruth
stuff.
Play baseball.
Exactly.
And then my dad was in the Korean War. My mom, her parents came over from Lebanon. Never even talked about any of that with my parents and grandparents. I would love to.
Yeah, isn't it
that.
Funny that it never really came up around the dinner table?
Yeah,
they
yeah.
just didn't talk very much about that stuff.
And I guess when you're kids, you're just not in that state of mind. But I'm truly curious. I love hearing, you know, most of the people, of course, that we're interviewing, you know, can speak to either growing up during, you know, World War II or the 1960s. And I just love hearing the historical perspective of what that was like, because it was such a pivotal decade in American history, whether it be, of course, the 40s with World War II or the 1960s, and how that decade started in one way and how it finished in another way. American culture, civil rights, music. My goodness. I mean, has any decade had a greater change in music from the way it started in 1960 to the way it exited in 1969?
No.
Is it possible? I mean, there's no way, you know?
I love hearing about when we ask people about what they remember about when JFK was shot.
Everybody's got their story on that.
And it's all like, they're just like, this, the stories you hear about that, everyone knows exactly where they were.
100%. It's the same with people now who are, you know, Jackson. I mean, you were probably too young to remember September 11th, right?
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, I think my generation, Gen Z, is described as those born before 9/11 but can't remember it.
Okay.
Or maybe right around then.
Right around the turn of the century then.
Yeah. So, like, I was three and I don't remember anything, or maybe even two.
For us, my generation, up until September 11th, it was the Challenger.
Yeah.
You know. But I've talked with some people, you know, who are obviously, you know, in their 80s or 90s at this point, who can remember Pearl Harbor. But Pearl Harbor wasn't like you're turning on, you know, take your pick of whatever news outlet.
No, you couldn't see it.
It's something some didn't hear for a day or so, you know, unless you really tuned in. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I remember about JFK is that they turned TVs on in our grade school and we watched the coverage.
Is that right? I feel like the people I talked to said a lot of them were sent home that day.
We weren't. I remember sitting in St. Mary Magdalene, they rolled the TV in and said, this is something we all need to watch. Just like they did during the World Series. They would roll the TV in and watch the World Series.
Yeah.
Even when the Cardinals weren't playing?
Well, when the Cardinals played,
Oh, yeah, just when the Cardinals. But that was
But my grade
years,
school, 64, 67, 68, that was in grade school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It was during the day, right?
Yeah. And then I got out of school. My dad took me to one of the 64 games, so I didn't go to school.
Oh.
Did Big Irish hit a home run? He had a lot of home runs in the 64 series. Didn't he?
That's my first.
He won. The Yankees.
That's my first vivid remembrance of going to a game with my dad was the 64 World Series.
What a great thing that is.
And that's when I became a huge Ken Boyer fan. That was my favorite player.
Doug, you're a Ken Boyer guy,
yeah? Yeah. He was my favorite player, too.
Someone just tweeted out there yesterday that Sports Illustrated cover with the 68 Cardinals, like the highest paid team in history, and it's just like Roger Maris, Gibson, Lou Brock, Shannon, Tim McCarver, Cepeda. It's like, oh my God.
Blood.
Like, Redhead managing them. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a great team. Great team. Ran away with the league that year.
And it's one of those things kind of like I've asked Ozzie before, best team of those three that went to the World Series in the 80s, and he's like, 85, didn't win the World Series. I think those guys would say 68 might have been the best team.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And 64 and 67 won it, right?
Yeah.
Well, when you go up against, who they go up against, Denny McClain, Mickey Lolich.
Mickey Lolich won three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flood slipped on the fly ball that Jim Northrop hit that allowed a couple of runs to score in the eighth, I think, and they didn't recover. Game 7. They were ahead 3-1 in the series. Still lost it.
Did that bother you as a young tyke?
Oh, God, I was heartbroken. Yeah. Absolutely heartbroken.
That's where I was on 85.
Yeah.
And 87.
I had it for the longest time, and I guess I didn't really care about it, and we got it thrown away. But I remember after the 67 game, a bunch of the Red Sox came into Jericho House.
Here we go.
And they and I remember I had a napkin autograph.
Here we go.
My dad got a napkin autograph by Rico Petrocelli and Jim Lomborg.
Lomborg.
I had that for the longest time. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember when you look at the old video of Gibson striking out 17 Detroit Tigers, they cut to the shot of the crown. Everybody's got a tie on.
Nice.
Can you imagine that today?
How hot that would be.
Putting on a tie? People were so well dressed back then. And now we'll just show up and whatever. Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Dress can't get any worse, I wouldn't think. In human history, it can't get much worse than it is now.
Well, you got to wear the baggy stuff because you're going to that third or fourth helmet nacho.
Yeah, you that'll. Know, you need to be able to sal in.
Yeah,
need
room.
Dipping dots. And then you got that pastrami sandwich for the ride home.
Oh, that pastrami goes so hard.
Something with an expandable waist.
Pastrami dog, Kelsey.
We flash back a generation, and they're wearing suits and ties at the ball game.
Guys, my parents are gone. Their wedding rehearsal was the day JFK was assassinated. I wish I could have a sound story about that. They were super Catholic, and their wedding rehearsal was the day JFK was assassinated. Hmm. Yeah, they'll certainly remember that. And Lee Harvey Oswald was shot on live TV. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I was watching that.
You were watching when that happened?
Like, mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all... I was... You know, a kid, 9 or 10, I guess.
And Jack Ruby, a strip club owner, I think.
He was. Yeah, he owned the Stag Bar.
Mob connections.
So, therefore, Doug, you are of the opinion that that was a
mob hit.
Inside
oh,
job.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yeah.
You yeah. don't even you insta shipped
yeah,
it.
Yeah, how else?
Just depends who was the one on the inside.
Somebody even opened the door so we could get in the station.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I did. I was kind of wondering. You know, of course, this isn't something that I experienced, but it now being older and familiarizing myself with it, not just through the Joe Pesci dipped in gold film, I use that for other reasons. But that I'm what? Like, how was just a guy who owned a stag bar standing there as the guy right. who assassinated the president has just walked transferred?
They let him in.
Right. Hey, Jack, come on in. Yeah, we're bringing him out now. Come stand as close as you want to him.
There's a mob guy who owns a
yeah,
strip.
We don't have any metal.
He needs to be in here. He needs to be in the police.
We don't have any metal detectors here. Come on in.
Right.
And he might have killed a guy who had nothing to do with the president's assassination. It's all like a big conspiracy wrapped in a conspiracy. Yeah.
Why didn't they try to tie Sam Giancana and all that, right?
Right. Apparently he and JFK were sharing girlfriends or... I don't know. You see so many different stories.
But... Yeah, then when they got him elected in Illinois, they promised him a lot of favors. Then when they didn't do that, and then Robert Kennedy started going after organized crime, and he just... Yeah. That's what... The whole story is, but
I have no doubt that Oswald had something to do with it. Whether he was the only guy involved, that's highly doubtful.
There's no doubt that he had something, but
yeah,
he might never have squeezed his trigger. That's the thing.
He might not have ever fired a weapon.
Like they don't know exactly if he ever shot anyone.
So yeah. He wasn't necessarily for certain in the book depository?
I think they put him in there just so that's where they would hone the investigation in on.
Didn't he work there?
Yeah, he worked there.
Yeah, so that's why he was there.
But there, the magic bullet theory is what they presented. And so if he was one of the shooters, it's hard to believe that he was the only shooter.
Yeah. There was someone in that grassy knoll.
Right.
When you
shot
think, though,
that fence.
At some point.
You think so? You really
yeah,
you think?
Sure.
Because
I
talking,
do, too.
We're talking, you know, 60 years ago. That at some point on a deathbed, somebody would say, you know, hey, I did it.
Oh, the CIA
he didn't do it
gets
alone.
You, wait.
See, and I get that thought process. But the way that people are, I don't even know what the right word for it would be. Leveraged is what I'm trying to say, but I think there's a better word for it. Scared silent, maybe would be better, is threats to family members.
Yeah.
That's the game.
And would you believe anybody at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Well, unless they came up with all this evidence that you could go check and say, check here, and check here. I'm giving you the blueprint on where to go find all this information.
Well, I think the files are opening where they were supposed to open up last year, but they keep getting delayed.
They're not going to reveal to the American public that they're just lying or covering.
Well,
up.
The Freedom of Information Act. Eventually, I think they do have to. So
yeah, but they also scrub that.
A few people send me this, both in the text inbox and Doug, the John Wooden of South St. Louis, you call him Cal Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Just sent me a text of JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass. It's a documentary on Showtime that is out. So there it is, if you're interested in
going
down this.
Yeah, I want to check that out for sure.
I don't have Showtime anymore.
All right. How are you going to watch Billions, baby?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You got to get the Showtime app.
Do you think Billions will fall off with Damian Lewis is gone? So I don't know what it was that I
saw a trailer with him in it.
So you saw it too?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell we were looking
at. Unless they're flashing back to...
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I just remember reading like a New York Post article that he said he was done with that chapter.
I went after we talked about it on the show. I'm like, wow, well then what are they doing? Or maybe he's just taking a year off. I know his wife passed away.
Yeah.
So maybe he just needed time. But no, I think he's off the show. From my standpoint, a show... I mean, Game of Thrones will go down in history, you know, as the biggest disaster as far as the equity it had for its first X number of seasons and then the debacle that was the final few episodes. Homeland had, so you know where I'm going with this, I mean, was so good for its first however many seasons. Damian Lewis left. They kind of solved that riddle. And the show then just kind of it became a way. It was kind of House of Cards with Kevin Spacey, and they saved the final season. I use the term saved loosely, but it was definitely not the same thing. And so I'm wondering if Billions now will fall off like Homeland did, Kevin Spacey and House of Cards. Game of Thrones is an outlier because of, you know, the writing. But I'm wondering, like, my enthusiasm for watching the show is... dissipated by the fact that you don't have Axe.
Yeah.
Right. There.
I mean, everything evolves around him. I mean, there's some other good characters in there, but not enough to save that show, I don't think.
So you're out now. You're selling. You're selling your stock.
I don't have Showtime anyway, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're probably trying to keep the show alive so everybody still has jobs and they can continue to make money.
Yeah, Game of Thrones should have been 7 more seasons.
Just a disaster.
I mean,
I never saw it.
You never watched any of it, or you tried to? I remember.
Yeah, I would flip on and say, "What's everyone talk about?" And I'd see like 5 minutes of people in dark castles just kind of staring into space. I said, "What the hell? Dude, I'm not watching this."
The first 6 seasons is comparable to Breaking Bad at that style of how good it was. But 7th season, I actually enjoyed. I wasn't terribly upset.
Oh, is that right?
I thought the action was well. I thought the writing was terrible. The 8th season could have been, it couldn't have been worse if you even tried. You could have had a 5-year-old with a crayon.
Crayon? Is that what you said?
A crayon.
Okay.
Writing the ending to that, and it would still be better than what you got.
Really? Well, they ran out of source material, was the biggest problem.
They were way ahead of the books.
Source material.
Well, George R.R. Martin wrote the books, which coincided with, I think, the first 5 or 6 seasons, and then. HBO was like, we need to do the next 2 seasons.
And there were a couple
of
interns in the cafeteria, and they said, hey, can you knock out
right,
these seasons?
Right, D.B. Weiss and Dave something. And it went poor. I actually think most of season 8 is okay. The last 2 episodes are just awful. But, like, the White Walker fight scene, despite the fact you can't see anything, is actually a pretty good episode.
Oh, that's right.
It's in pitch black. If you watch it during the day, good
that.
Luck. If you have any glare on your TV, you cannot see a thing.
And I, to me, and what great was it recently came out that George R.R. Martin said he wanted it to go 5 more seasons, but HBO was not willing to wait for the books and all that information, so they went on it. Do you imagine having 5 more seasons of Game of Thrones and have it actually follow
the vision?
It was something. Was that 2019 when it went away?
Season 8 was 2019.
I mean, not the whole country. It felt like the whole country, but you had. You know, what is the final episode of MASH, Doug? Is that the one that was always held up as the standard, or Who Shot JR with Dallas in the early 1980s? Uh-huh. A rare time where it felt like, even though mathematically it wasn't, the whole country, and in Game of Thrones' case, it was beyond the United States, was talking about a show, and yet it's universally panned with what happened at the end. So much so that there's talk about... not that it's necessarily real, but to go back and pick up after whichever season and then redo the final season.
I would be fine with that. I would actually enjoy that. And you feel bad because it went from everybody having that on their Mount Rushmore. I mean, after season 6, You ask people. And
people say that about Dexter. I never watched it. My wife was into it, and I guess the final season or final episode of Dexter before they've rebooted it.
Final season was terrible.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. It just sucks that that's the way that it...
Didn't that end in the boat?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I won't give it away.
Breaking Bad, I think I was disappointed because I wanted that show to continue for so long because that's the first show I waited every week to watch before streaming became super popular.
I thought the ending was fine. El Torino, movie afterwards, which was just awful because it was just Aaron Paul.
But I loved how Breaking Bad ended. I thought that was a good way. Walt needed to die. He did a lot of things.
Doug, that's a spoiler alert.
Well, we never really saw him.
Yeah, well, it is 8 years old, I think.
We saw the machine guns going in there, the bullets flying in the building. We never really saw him dead, though.
He dropped, and then the cops came. So either he's arrested or he's dead. But yeah. I absolutely loved the ending to that. I just wish, again, that lasted 8-9 more seasons
because I love it so much.
Well, and Deadwood was supposed to go 2 more seasons.
Oh, yeah. That was...
But HBO said it cost too much money. You mentioned George R.R. Martin. I like 2 middle initials.
You like that move.
It makes you sound very important.
So is J.K. Rowling kind of in that same realm?
I'd like to be Douglas E.R. Vaughn.
Well, I like that.
Emergency Room Vaughn.
Yeah. And I like that. I can do that if you want when we intro.
E.R. Vaughn. I think 2 middle initials is nice.
I put that in my senior.
Yes.
I put it in my yearbook, my senior year. Just I thought it'd be funny because my middle name is Bruce, and then my confirmation name is Joseph. So I put Kenneth B.J. Strode.
Perfect.
You look so much like a Bruce. Like if I
clip that off.
Yeah, that's a big clip that off.
I think that's a perfect secondary name.
Yeah,
Bruce.
Bruce E. Young.
And you're wearing your Iggy for Mayor hat today, which is very nice.
Oh, I didn't even know.
You can see that on YouTube. But Doug, 260 people are in there talking it over right now. Come on in. The water's warm. I think we look hot today.
Yeah.
I'd go through the day as quickly.
Yeah, we've all done our hair. We went through hair and makeup before the show even started. So, we look better than we do when we just crawl out of
bed. Polo tartan.
It's like a little chat room where people are just talking about the show. Doug, you can go in there and talk it over with your friends.
Well, I don't think I have any friends that would be in there. Most of my friends are old enough to know better.
I have some friends who just started listening since we've made the transition. They ask a lot of questions.
About what?
Maybe they need to listen to some Swope's picks. It's like it's like a precursor, or some kind of initiation.
It's like an epilogue.
The big mystery is how people could actually make a living doing what we're doing right now. I mean, is this a great country or what? We're doing absolutely nothing.
Well, define make a living.
Oh. Well, enough money to eat, take care of food, clothing, and shelter.
Okay, then I'm fine.
All right.
I mean, it's no $50K in a 401K, but it'll get by.
Let's see. Guys, I've finished a couple times in this chat. That's nice. Mm. So guys are using the chat. And they're kind of cybering in the chat with each other. So that's another reason to join in. It's youtube.com/TMASTL. This is the Munganass 7 o'clock hour. Work with the wonderful Jamie Burkhardt and Clayton Patterson. At this point, it's daily. And I love it. People email me or DM me on social media. And they say, hey, could you talk about on TMA or on 101 introducing us to Jamie and Clayton? I'd really appreciate it. More than happy to do it. Jamie loves it. Do it with Seth Goldkamp as well. Did it with Mark Hanna earlier this week. I'm happy to do it. You want an introduction? I want to make the introduction for you. Email me, tmckernan@insidestl.com. Because everybody feels better about making a purchase, one as large as a car, or even just something that's a minor thing, if you feel like you have a contact and a connection. Well, that's what we want to do here. When we vouch for the people on this show, we know them. Now, if it's, reading copy for a business, we're not going to read a copy for a business if we don't like it or believe in it. But we're talking about the individuals. We know them. We are clients of Munganast. All of us are, if I'm not mistaken.
Plowhawk, yeah.
I know you didn't get your car there, but you got it repaired there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, they're
there,
amazing.
Right? Yeah.
I got a Toyota Highlander now. They showed me. I'm driving.
And I saw they put 22-inch rims on those things for you.
Are they spinning?
Love that car.
They are spinning.
Oh, my goodness. Is that a
They're still spinning.
Car.
Doug gets here before me, and his rims are still spinning.
Yeah,
even when he's parked.
I was listening out there. Yeah. They're still spinning.
I pimp around.
Clip that off.
I drive up and down Lindbergh there,
Like into the ladies go,
South
man,
County?
That's nice.
Yeah, I cruise. I love that Toyota Highlander.
There's nothing hotter
that's a better
than a middle-aged man getting out of a car with spinning rims.
In a Highlander.
Fantastic car. It's so comfortable. It sits up a little bit. It's quiet. It's a hybrid. It gets ridiculous fuel mileage, gas mileage.
Yeah, Jamie built these little sticks so I can control this because I can't reach.
You have to have a special knob so that your pincers.
That's correct.
Can
my
attach.
Hands are so tiny that I can barely grab.
And he built you those.
He built it for
and
me.
And the gas and brake pedals look like little mini
they
Shock
do.
40 racers.
But then I'm like, because my legs don't feet. Touch the ground, obviously. And so I'm like, you know, reaching to press. And he goes, no, I'll build these little sticks for you. And they did it for Emmanuel Lewis. And now they're doing it for me.
Not
it's a
wonderful
thing.
Not a lot of auto dealers would do that.
Yep, they, well, you can do it at stlouisacura.com and altontoyota.com. It's Munganess, the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour and the Daily Fantasy Sports Showdown. And Iggy, I'm going to show you something. And this is going to typify right here the Tam Avenue Capital Partners experience.
And hopefully we can update ours after the break because I have no clue. I mean, I know what I did, but I forgot who Doug picked.
If you would, real, just you can. So I want you to be able to read this to the people. This is yesterday around 4 o'clock.
I see that you are in first place winning $150,000.
And
I see you're in fifth place winning $8,000.
And I think I was in third place.
I see you in third place winning $30,000.
That's right, Doug. At around 4 o'clock wow. yesterday, the Tam Avenue Capital Partners were winning $192,000. By the end of the day, our total was $540.
That's insane, dude.
A lot of volatility in the boardroom at the Tam Avenue Capital Partners. Yeah.
All it takes is a couple of bogeys, and that's what happens.
You didn't spend any of that money, did you?
I did. Actually, I was at Napoli.
He pulls up.
That's right where you went when you got that email.
I did.
Got some Dom P and some Penna vodka.
Yep.
Leased a huge RV, just pulled it into the station.
Yeah. Black Escalade.
So, I probably need to call Mark Hannon, see what he would advise at this point.
And
so,
all it takes is a couple of bogeys, and your guys go from first to fifth, and all of a sudden you just lost 100-something points.
Who is this guy who's leading? Not Cantlay. I know you like to add the extra syllable on him, but who's the other guy? Doug, I know you were
probably
monitoring
one of my guys, Hardy, Woo, 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 Kenny Woo, or it could have been Fowler or Sabatini.
Lee Hodges.
More. I didn't see that. Lee Hodges.
Gil no. Hodges is leading?
That's correct. I honestly have no idea who the man is. He's ranked 138th. But
well, Lee Hodges
below Cantlay. There's not much after that either. There's a lot of names up there you never heard of.
He went to the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Doug, he's a Blazer.
UAB. Blazer.
Ooh. Gene Bartow?
Yes.
He's 26 years young. 6 foot, buck 87.
Look at Jackson off the top of his head.
Is right. he a Corn Ferry guy?
Probably at one point. Vineyard 26. Vine sponsor.
Here's where I am on Lee Hodges, if anybody's interested in this, because we've seen this song and dance before.
Fade him.
He'll be folding up like a cheap tent this afternoon in Palm Springs.
He probably played one of
Watch him now shoot 59.
He probably played one of the easier courses. Then you get him to the stadium course. And, you know, because my big play on the pick six was Johnny Vegas to finish top 40. I thought that was a no-brainer.
I put some Vegas on the team, and I saw he had a rough day.
Well, I mean, he makes birdies, and he did. He made five of them.
Is he a shot maker?
And he's a ball striker, actually.
He only had two holes where he didn't birdie or par, and those two holes were a double and a triple. So he finished even par.
You know who's DFL?
Davis Love?
No, actually. Matthew Wolf, which is concerning because he's had some...
Yeah, he may withdraw them.
Yeah, and Phil Mickelson, who carded a 9... Mm. A 9 on a par 4.
Wow.
And I had some...
Well, go in the water a couple times. That'll do it.
Yeah, I don't know which hole it was. But, so the Tam Avenue Capital Partners got a little taste yesterday and then promptly lost approximately $195,000.
Just in a couple minutes.
It went quickly. It went quickly.
Who was it? Was it Jeff Bezos who lost $38 billion one day? Stock market took a hit. He lost $38 billion.
I think we can all relate to that.
And he probably picked up $40 billion the next day.
Probably.
So. Yeah, so if you're following your DraftKings team, look for 9 or 10 under par will be the cut after Saturday, I would think.
No one needs to look for that.
So Johnny Vegas shot even. I need Johnny Vegas to go out and shoot a 4-under and a 5-under round.
You know who texted me with a little play? Billy Shacklady.
Oh, nice.
Did he? What did he give
Billy
me?
Shacklady. I haven't Matthew seen Wolf. Him. He's moved over to Kansas City. No, he said, what do you think about Jason Day at 7,300? And I was looking at that. Molinari's at 7,000. And so your inclination is, well, something must be wrong. But I did put some J Day on there after talking with Billy Shacklady.
Yeah.
And he had a good day. I mean, it's not he's leading, but.
Yeah, he hasn't.
And Molinari played well, too, and he was only 7,000.
Yeah, there's some guys in there in those 7,000 ranges you could get. And I like Justin Rose for the fact that...
Doug, you have Justin
he's on
Rose.
My team.
He didn't play any of the early European tour. He didn't go to Sony. He didn't go to Hawaii. And he said, I'm working on my game for this year. Because he dropped to like under 50. Now he's back up to 42 in the world. But he's spent all winter working on his game. That's all he's done. So,
but don't a lot of them spend all winter working
no,
on their
game? No, they don't. They spend
professional
eating
golfers,
and traveling
don't.
And... wait for a couple weeks before Hawaii, and I better work on some stuff.
I don't know. I bet they're all working pretty much all the time, aren't they?
No. You think Ricky Fowler's been working on his game after having a kid?
Well, probably.
No, and I think he shed over par yesterday, so.
Okay, now Ricky.
What has happened to him? He went from, like, the darling of the PGA to he's going to...
Doug, let's pull up Ricky Fowler's swing in 2015
have,
yeah, and then his swing
he's
now. What do you see as far as...
Is he coming in too steep? Is that the issue?
I don't know. He's got rich, and so he lost a little of his edge, probably.
Quick tempo. Real quick over the top.
No, I know he's changing his swing over the last year, but I don't know why you change it at that age. He's not like he has something. He's going to have back problems with his swing.
We got to take a break, but I do want to break down Lee Hodges' swing coming up at 8:30.
Oh, come on.
Also, the post drops of the week are coming up. Lisa Ann with us at 9 o'clock. The Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week and the Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day are all coming up on your captain's log. Send them in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. You are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 105.7 HD2 FM, The Potted Plant, TMASTL.com. And you're watching with your friends in the chat at YouTube.com/TMASTL.